in Siman Kufnun, a somewhat of an extension from what we looked last week. It's actually the same sugya in the, well, Sif Aleph is not, but Sif Beis is really the same sugya from what we learned last week. So last week we recall that it was that, actually 2 weeks ago, was that issue with going on the road to a city that had a Vodasar in it during the time of the fair, right? So it seemed that there was this fear that if you are going to the place of the fair, so people are going to assume that you're going there also to take part in the Vodasara, unless you can figure out a way that no, it's that there's going that way is also going someplace else. So that's probably a major part of the Heter that we use today. But over the course of that, so Sif Aleph actually is not in that sugya. It's actually something else, someplace else, which I'm not even sure why it's here. Seems like a little bit of an odd place for it. But the Torah quotes that Mitzvah Hisrafik Niderach Vodasara Arba Amos, that it's a mitzvah to stay far away from Avodah Zarah for Amos. So I want you to stay 4 Amos away from Avodah Zarah.
Is this Avodah Zarah or the road that leads to Avodah Zarah?
So one should not only go near, right, one should stay away from all of those things. So that's actually a little bit later on in Avodah Zarah, in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's a different sugya, and it's actually not, that sugya is not really talking about Avodah Zarah itself. That sugya is really talking about other things that are bad, like the home of a prostitute and things like that. So one is supposed to say Dalet Amos from things that are bad. And that's it. That's all that says in Shulchan Aruch. There's no Nosei Kelim, but that's just someone should stay away, 4 Amos from, doors to churches. Someone should stay 4 Amos away from Citizen Bank Park, probably. Say 4 hours away from the Philadelphia 76ers for the time being, right? All these things
Thursday
are no good.
Why just stay away?
Okay, so that's right. Sif Aleph. Sif Beis. So Sif Beis then is then part of that sugya. So that sugya was, you should not go on that road because it looks like you're doing Avodah Zarah. So then that Gemara in Maseches and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph also quotes other things we alluded to it last week. Also quotes other things that one should avoid doing because it has an appearance of doing things like Avodah Zarah. So what are they? So Sif Beis, in, I guess we can read the tour. It's really just a quote that Yashuv Lo Kotz Baraglo Bifnei Avodah Zarah. Now let's say you get a splinter in your toe in front of Avodah Zarah. Onis Pazru Lo Moes Lefanecha, or money gets spread out in front of the Avodah Zarah. So what's going to be? So you kind of want to bend over to pluck the splinter out of your toe. You don't want to bend over in order to pick up the money. So it's going to look like, however, that you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. So it says, that one shouldn't bend to pick out the splinter and pick up the money because it looks like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. But if it doesn't look like you're bowing down to it, that's actually what it says in the Gemara. Also says, if it doesn't look like you're bowing down to it, it's mutter.
So
that's in the Brisa. So the Gemara then asks, what does that mean? It doesn't look like you're bowing down to it. Either you are or you aren't. So the Gemara says, no. If you go from inside the Atzma mutter, if you turn yourself away, so then it's going to be mutter. You turn your back to it, you turn your side to it. It's clear that you're not bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, so that's okay. The Bach actually doesn't really quote the Gemara. The Gemara itself asks, why do you need both of those examples, the coats, the pulling out the splinter, as well as picking up the money? So the Gemara responds with one of its notzricha, that you need both. Because by the coats, I would have thought that was mutter, because that you're actually feeling pain for. So maybe that would be permissible. So therefore it tells you no. And what about the money? So the money, I would have thought that maybe only pulling the... I would have thought that the splinter is, you would have to move because the splinter you could do some other place. But the money's there. You can't go and do the money some other place. So therefore they both are working off of each other and saying that no, both of them you have to avoid any appearance, any semblance of doing it, l'shem Avodah Zarah.
That's part of the story.
Yes, right. It's part of the
Haman. Children, right?
Haman
also.
Well, Haman is.
He killed all the children, sitting by down to the idol. The youngest one came up, so he said, I'll drop my ring and you give it to me, and it looks like you're bowing to the idol.
Oh, okay.
So, no, I'm not doing that either. He was killed too. That's the story,
Yes. Right. All right. So let's stay in here. Sure enough, let's stay back here. So the Gemara then has one more. Mayan Hamoshech Mayan Bifnei Avodah Zarah. What about? So we learned this also last week. The Mayan, if you have a spring that's pouring out water in front of a Avodah Zarah, so lo yishcha v'yishta, so one shouldn't bend and drink from it, because it looks like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. Again, afilu I mayis I lo shasi, and even if, now this is what it sounds like, even if you will die if you don't drink. That's actually the words of the Gemara. The Gemara uses that terminology. Even if you'll die if you don't drink. And he adds in one more, pirtzu hamakaleach mayim dechrachim, also if you have one of those gargoyles that are spilling out the water that they have in the villages, lo yaniach pivi yishti, shouldn't put your mouth up to in order to drink. Again, mifnation nirakim minashik avodah zarah. So it looks like you're being minashik avodah zarah.
I looked it up and gargoyles.
So gargoyles, by definition, where the water is coming out?
Yes.
Okay. If anyone would like we have a local gargoyle, I believe, is on Sussex, on the plot of land that used to be shared by the Millers. There's another house right by. Am I the only one that drives on Sussex ever?
Is there a water fountain?
Well, so there is a fountain. There's one of these fancy bridges with a thing with a gargoyle, right? With the water
in people's
out.
Backyard.
Right. So is that only a Avodah Zarah?
Maris Road.
I'm not sure. It's on Maris Road. Yeah. No, it's in the front yard. You could see it.
So it's not a church. It's a house.
It's a house. Yeah. But that's what it's talking about here. It's talking about cities that have these things as part of the gates into the city.
So like a fountain, like they would.
Well, no. This is specifically, but it's specifically an image of a face with water coming out of it.
I didn't notice a picture. I just know there's a.
I believe so. So I take a look. Don't take a look too closely, but you can take a quick look. Next time you happen to be driving down Morris, but of course now between the Millers and between the Millers and this other house, there's now like six very happened. Large houses in between them that have made up that. That property.
Who was that?
So, anyways, they sold it, and they some developer built houses on it. So you shouldn't drink from it. So it sounds like even if you're going to die, if you don't drink, that's what it sounds like. In fact, that's the language that the Gemara has. The Gemara has emais. So the so if you look at the Darkei Moshe, so the Darkei Moshe here in Aleph, right, you see the Darkei Moshe on the bottom. So he says, "Aval Haran beperakamada Avodah Zarah." So the Ran on that Gemara comments, "Ve'efshar to makom sakana shar." He says, "No. If it's actually you're really in danger, so then it is mutter, right? Lo asrinan mishum marasayin. You don't ask her because of marasayin. Right? The only concern is that marasayin, not actually doing the avoda. It's just that's marasayin. Now, if the avoda was to go up to these idols and actually give it a kiss, so that would be more problematic. But that doesn't seem to be the situation. It's just that it looks bad. So it's marasayin. So the Ran says you're not chayiv misa for doing for violating marasayin. So you, if it's really a case of life and death, so then you would be allowed to do it. So what does the Gemara then mean by it says afilu humayis, even if you would die for it? It says v'hadam rina delo yishta afagav di lo shasi mayis lav dafkam bayis. Doesn't mean you actually die, badai for sure. If you don't drink, so then things might get dangerous, right? But you're not actually, it's not a badai suffix sakana. So that's just interesting. I didn't see how to develop that any further, but I'm not sure we make that distinction anywhere else. I mean, when it comes to Malchus on Shabbos, so we don't make a distinction of Sakanas Nefashos and Suffix Sakanas Nefashos. So Suffix Sakanas Nefashos, we treat that Kavadai. So this is, it doesn't actually use that terminology of Suffix Sakanas Nefashos. It's more of a, if he doesn't do it now, it may lead to that situation, which is a little bit different, but it's a little, I'm not sure I've ever come across that distinction before. Okay, so this dark emotion actually goes on and quotes a few other interesting things, one of which we came across before, and that is the Truma Sedeshin in Simon Kuf Tzadivav. So Kuf Tzadivav is one of the absent Truma Sedeshins from the traditional Truma Sedeshin, right? That the Kuf Tzadivav and Kuf Tzadizayin are just absent from a traditional edition of Truma Sedeshin and was reinserted into the new ones. And what was the question that was asked? It says, the Osam Galachim Osarim Shi'ish Lam Shasiv Erev Bivigdam. That if these priests that happen to have a cross on their garments, obakovam, or on their and their kippos. That it's best if you would do whatever you can not to bow opposite them. Because bowing down to a avodah zarah is one of the things that are aser by all avodah zarah shebaolam. And it's like this sugya, right? It's comparable to this. Just as you can't bow down in front of an idol in order to pick up money that's on the floor, so too here, when you meet with the priest, and I think the impression you get from the Trumas Hadeshin itself is that you meet with the priest annually in order to pay off your debt or pay your protection fee or those kinds of stuff. So you have a monetary relationship with the priest. So you should be careful not to bow down to them, right? So the tshuva itself was the context that was asked in a way that the priest was wondering why no one's bowing down to him, and he asked, and that was the answer he gave. Oh, it's because of all the crosses you have on your garment. He said, oh, well, I'd much rather have them bow down to me than have the crosses on. I think that's the
ones that he made up. His...
Yeah, no, right. Well, he did and he didn't. He made them up, but it's been. I think I saw recently this year that actually I think it's in the Art Scroll, the Rishonim book. I think it says that a lot of, even though the Trumas Hadeshin were questions that he made up, they were things that he had written to other people. There were like adaptations of Shilohs that he had actually gotten. It's not completely made out of thin air. These are actually things that did come up, even if he didn't write official tshuvos on them. He might have adapted them for the sefer a little bit, but a lot of them are issues that occurred.
It's a bit of a finish that it's just a cross that's not what it is.
Yeah, so that's why this is not. Yeah, so that's why this is not actually here. Oh no, it is. Is this here? But we came across this already. That this is the earlier on, like much earlier on in our section of learning about avodah zarah, that issue came up about whether it is or is not avodah zarah. So I believe the Ramah there paskin that it's like. Yeah, we came across this before about whether you're allowed to make it and things like this. I think we passed that right. It's not doesn't have the din of being an idol. And
we
you were
also not just people. We had like utensils with crosses and all.
Yes, right. That was sugya. And I had to quote the Trumas Hadeshin to say that. I mean, he didn't asser it explicitly. Remember, he assered it as like doesn't look right. So it's not because it is a avodah zarah, it's because it doesn't look right to have that kind of thing. I mean, implying that it's not that the cross does not actually have a din of a object of a avodah zarah. So that was quoted by the Ramah earlier on, which I'm having trouble finding, although I have a feeling that it's someplace in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph. Okay, so the Ramah goes on and quotes a few, this Darkei Moshe here, the Ramah, the same person, goes on and quotes a few other interesting things. He says, V'ri mei Oppenheim. Hitir lakum ifnehem, that he permitted standing in front, standing up for a galach, ulahasir akova ifnehem, and even to remove your hat from them, remove your, sounds like your yarmulke. Aval mikol makom yatzim ina v'chol yicholas o yakum terem boam. But you should as much as possible, maybe if you can look away and pretend you don't see him, that might be one possibility. Or to get up as soon as he comes in, meaning before it's obvious that you're standing up specifically for him. So that would be better. But Meikar Adin, he says you're allowed to stand up for a galah.
What's the galah?
Priest. So.
What language? Yiddish?
I guess so. Galah is priest. It's Yiddish, I guess, yeah. So, Vaharich Sham Bezevich Etzarti, right? He speaks very length, and I shortened it, the Roma says. Then he adds in Mahar Yov, Kasav Divrei Rav, this Rav Oppenheim, the Rime Oppenheim, the Chasav Hatam, and he says the reason. Hoel Vagam Hagayim Einan Noagin. Because that's not the Goyim don't do that. The Goyim don't take off their yarmulkes in front of the shasi, in front of a cross. They only take off their yarmulkes in front of a priest. So they're not worshiping the priest. It's a sign of respect for the priest. So therefore, they, therefore it's okay. So therefore, if a Jew takes off his yarmulke, it doesn't look like he's doing it because of the cross. Rather, it's because he's doing it because of the honor due to this religious figure. So kus, which apparently seems like it's okay. I mean, that itself is not an act of avodah zarah. So that's probably important to keep in mind. All these all these rabbis go and meet the Pope and things like that. So that's, I guess, important to keep in mind.
Bernie Sanders lahat.
Yes, yes. Bernie Sanders also did not wear his yarmulke when he went to see the Pope.
Snyder met the Pope also.
What?
I was reading that Snyder had gone to see the Pope.
This Pope?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so Kasav told us Adam v'Chava. So it's also written in Toldos Adam v'Chava. I'm not sure what that is. Yeah, Mashinoagim ba'artzos. He was complaining about something that apparently they had the minog in places Yeduos Laru Hashulchan v'lasim alav mine Michael b'layla shalemaracha shalemacharaso malin hatinok. That they used to have the minog apparently of setting the table and with different types of food the night before the bris of the baby. That was a minuk. For Omrim Shaosino so, and they did it, Lamazla Tinok, for the good luck of the Tinok. So Raisi Rabosai Shinagu Bo Isser Ulochim Beyadnos. I saw from my Rebbein that held that it was Aser, and they protested it. For Omrim Shazehu Bechla Ha Orchim Lagad Shulchan. Kanamim Parakhelik. And that has the din of leaving things on the table. What is that talking about? So there is Gemara in Chelek first has a bit of a stira. The Gemara in Chelek says that anybody who doesn't leave bread on the table when one is finished eating, eno roa simen bracha liolam, will never see a simen bracha, implying that you're supposed to leave some amount of food on the table. Why would one possibly want to leave some amount of food on the table? So it looks like one is it gives greater praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that you're saying, thank you so much, I've become so satisfied from your food that you see I couldn't even finish all that you gave me. That seems to be the siman bracha that you would get. So there's a dinner, quote Shulchan Aruch, about leaving some amount of food on the table when one benches. So then the Gemara says, but wait a second, we have another Gemara that says that if you leave food on the table, then it quotes this pasuk in Yeshaya, a samachay, parak samachay, pasuk yud aleph in Yeshaya. Second.
So how do we get this from the what they did with the Tinokas?
Oh, so hold on. So the pasuk says, "V'yatemos v'yashem hashkesim esharkashi haruchim lagad shulchan." So my holy mountain, who set a table for God, v'hamimalim lamne mimsach, and who fills a libation for many. For that fill lamini mimsar, that filled the libation for many, and that set a table for God. God. So both of those are considered foreign entities. So if you set, so the Gemara says that, wait a second, you're not allowed to, if you leave the food on your table, it looks like you're doing it for these other entities. So the Gemara responds by saying, no, one's talking about whole breads, and one's talking about pieces of bread. That if you cut a piece of bread, leave a piece of bread on the table, so that's permissible. That's actually laudable. That's something that should be done. But to leave an entire loaf on the table, so that's a problem, because it looks like you're leaving it for these other gods. So that's not a good idea. That's something that should be avoided.
I thought it's not under supervision, the going might tamper.
Who's saying anything about going?
I don't know.
So continues the Zarki Moshe. So v'chasu ha'achronim. So the achronim then add in. However, dafka shulchan. That's only if it's left on the table. Avalaruch mita shari. But to set a bed, that would be permissible. V'zeu sha'amrina b'gemara arsa degada shari. That the setting of a table, setting of a table of good fortune is permissible. Why is that permissible?
Arsa is a bed.
Yeah, arsa degada of good fortune is permissible. Which sounds a lot like God.
But
yes.
A bed or a table?
A bed. That setting a bed is okay. Oh, sorry. Right. Setting a bed for of good fortune, so that's permissible. What in the world is that talking about? So there is a Gemara Nedarim that seems to talk about this idea, that there is this idea of setting a table, setting a couch, which was the same as a bed with various things on it, food on it, for the sake of malachim that would come and spend time with you. So the Shulchan Aruch says, oh, because you're doing it for malachim, so therefore it's okay. So that's what's going on in this Darkei Moshe. That the night before bris, people would set the table, so that's inappropriate, but that's a violation of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. However, to set a bed, that would be okay, because that's in fulfillment of the Gemara in Nedarim. As far as I know, I mean, all three of my boys had brises, I don't remember setting any beds for them the night before their bris, but such things are clear. These are the things that you come across for us deep in Darkei Moshe.
So the Goyim were getting circumcised.
Your day. What?
The Goyim were getting. You said they put out the food. They used to put out the food before the bris. I mean, who's doing
Jews?
The Jews. Superstition or?
So well, it's. So it sounds like the part of the idea of the vachnach the night before is that you're protecting the baby from demons, or you need malachim to protect him from demons. I gotta look and see what all the roots are, but there, that has to do with, that's part of the story of staying up the night before of a bris and protecting the baby, etc. So this might have been a way of protecting the baby. You set a bed in order that the malachim should be there, so the malachim will be able to protect the baby the night before the bris. I think that's what we're driving at. But he's saying, that's okay if you set a bed, but to set a table, that's inappropriate, because that's a violation of the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that if you leave a table fully set, so it looks like you're doing it for these foreign gods. Okay? As far as I know, I don't think either one is the
one. Is either a bed or food.
Right? Also a good question. Okay, so if you go to the Shulchan Aruch itself, where are we here? Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch itself in Simon Kuf Nun, so he says, as we read already, mitzvahs li'srachik miderech ilulim dal ramos. That's mitzvah to stay away from the way to Avodah Zarah, at least 4 amos away. Okay, next. Yishiv lo kotz baraga lifnei ilulim o nispazri lo mos lefaneh, if you have a splinter in your foot, or the money was spread in front of it, lo yashuch lahasir hakotz v'lito amos. So you shouldn't bow in order to pluck out the splinter or to pick up the money, because it looks like you're bowing down to that god. Either face a different way, or turn your side, either face your back or your side to the elilim, and then you can go ahead and pick it up. So right, El Yeshiv, right. So the first idea of Yeshiv, that's not in the Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon adds in the words Rambam. Yeah, the Rambam says you could sit down. If you, instead of bowing down, you lift with your legs, not with your back. So that's another case where you should lift with your legs, not with your back. If you squat down in order to pick up the money, so then you're not bowing down, and that not only will that be better for your back, it will also be better for your neshama. Okay, so the Shach comments on that. Mifnei shenirik mishtachave. So the Shach comments in Aleph kasuv ba'agos prisha. Well, if he might the kaimon the chol darish us mishum maris ayin afilu b'chadrei chadarim aser huadin kan afilu ein shum adam roeyu aser. So the Shach adds in, oh, and don't think that if you are found yourself in that situation and no one else is around, that it would be permissible, because this whole thing is an issue of maris ayin, and maris ayin is prohibited even b'chadri chadar, even when you're within your inner house. So don't do that. This is a maris ayin issue. So the maris ayin issue comes more to the fore in Sif Gimel. So in Sif Gimel, it talked about those gargoyles, the pirtsofos hamikalachos mayim, that spill out the water, bifnei elilim, lo yaniach piv al piyam, v'yishtem yifnei shenir kimishachek elilim. You shouldn't put your mouth on its mouth, but it looks like you're kissing the Avodah Zarah. So comes the Ramah and says, Yesh omrim, the chol she'eno aser el bifnei maris ayin, kagon bedin zeh, imish sakana bedavar. He says that why is that a problem? It's really only a problem of maris ayin. So he says if it's a maris ayin issue, if there is a danger involved, kagonim yamusim lo yishta. For instance, you'll die of thirst if you don't drink. Mutter lishta, so it'd be permissible to drink. Ve'im bazeh mishum yarig val yavar. And then so it does not include an issue of yarig val yavar. It's not a yarig val yavar issue, which is not what one was led to believe by the simple reading of the Gemara. So then he adds in. Sarim o kohanim sheish lahem tsaro avodah zarah. What about then he quotes that Shumas Adeshin, if you have sarim are officers, some kind of government officer, o kohanim, or priests, sheyesh lehem tzuris avodas kohanim, bivigdehem, that have the image of avodah zara on their garments, so shenosim tzura chama lifnehem, or they carry an image of the sun on them, right, kederech hagmonim, like the hagmonim, or the, I think like priests or monks or something like that.
Just
be
leaders.
Like yeah. They're leaders, okay? So asuli we're not allowed to bow down to them. Ola hasir hakovel lifnehem, or to raise their cap in front of them. Rak b'derech she'enu nirik kemoshin yispazur ma'osav o'shiyakim lifnehem kodem bo'am. Only you have to do it in a way that's similar to the sugi that we had before. That looks like you're you know, it's clear that you're not bowing down to the avodah zarah. V'chein yasir hakovel v'yishtachavet kodem bo'am. Or you can raise your cap before they come. Right? Maybe some are makil because it's known that the non-Jews don't do that as part of their avodah zarah. It's best to be machmir and try to avoid it. Okay, so one did raise the issue here of the Ramah made this line and said that Maris Ayin does not cause one to be chayiv the death penalty. So that's good, but the fact that the Ramah had to say that is because other Rishonim disagree, and the Ran is amongst those Rishonim disagree. So in Rabbi Daniel Feldman's Sefer, Bina Besvarim 2, so he quotes a... He has an essay on the topic of Maris Ayin, and he quotes within this and he actually quotes this sugya comes to the forefront. There's the issue with the fish with the fish blood and the fins and things like that. So that's one of the famous Maris Ayin sugyas, and this is one of the famous Maris Ayin sugyas. So he says points out, as we've pointed out here before, whenever Maris Ayin has come up, that there's really two sides to understanding what the problem is of Maris Ayin. Right? One is for the benefit of the guy doing it, that the person himself shouldn't be thought of as somebody who's doing a sin. Right? He should be above suspicion. And the other thing is that if people see him doing what he does, so they might come to think that it's okay, and they might go ahead and do it. Right? So those are the two aspects of Maris Ayin. Either for us not to suspect, not to think that he's doing wrong, or to make sure that the person watching, that they themselves don't do wrong. So Rashi on this sugya in the Sechas of Avodah Zarah, when he says that you have to avoid this because of a chashad, he says, Davar HaMutter, that technically it's permissible to have that drink, Vasru Mifnei Maris Ayin, Shira'uhu Choshto B'Davar Avera, because those watching him will be choshed that he's doing something that's prohibited. As it has to do with the person that's being watched, that we're concerned that he's actually going ahead and doing the Avodah Zarah. And then there's another Rashi, other play, the Rashi in Masechta Schulin, where he comments that the problem is that people are going to get confused, and they're going to think that it's permissible. So does that mean that it's a stira, a contradiction in Rashi? So probably not. Probably both happen to be the case. But if one assumes, like the first way, that it's because we're concerned that he's doing it, so then one can go ahead and understand the shita of the Rashba, that holds that it is that holds that actually could be that it actually would be considered Yehorig Val Yavar, that that Avodah Zarah has extensions to it of ways that one could be chayav, perhaps above the actual prohibition of bowing down, that perhaps that's considered connected to the sin. So he compares it to Lifnei Iver, that when you have Lifnei Iver, that a person, you lead somebody else to do the sin, so Lifnei Iver is a separate prohibition. There's a prohibition of Lifnei Iver that they shouldn't go ahead and do that you shouldn't go ahead and lead somebody else to do the Iver. So that's what have you done if you do such a thing? So you have violated the prohibition called Lifnei Iver. But what about if you violate Maris Ayin, that you lead people to believe that you have actually done the sin? So there's no separate probe. There's no pasuk that says Maris Ayin. Right? There is a pasuk of that you should be a sisav, that you should be in the clear, that you shouldn't, that nobody should think that you're actually doing violation prohibitions, but there's no such halacha, so it actually might be connected to the Avodah Zarah. So if you assume that it's then connected to the Avodah Zarah, so then one can sit back and think that any stringency that applies to the Avodah Zarah in general would then apply to the Maris Ayin aspects of Avodah Zarah as well, and that would be how one could possibly understand this idea that even though one is only violating Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah, that one would be that itself would be considered Yehoreg Valyavar again as well. So we don't pass in that way. We pass in like the Ramah. We pass in like the Ran as quoted in the Ramah, it seems. But
I don't quite understand the Svara, the first one, that he is doing something that's close to Avodah Zarah. So
it's called Avodah Zarah, that it's sins that are kind of in the category of Avodah Zarah. So, for instance, Chametz on Pesach, so there's a prohibition of eating Chametz on Pesach. There's also a prohibition of owning Chametz on Pesach. There's also a prohibition, right? So those are, some have suggested that's considered what you call a Siag D'Oraisa, the third, right? But they're all included in the same thing, and therefore stringencies that might only apply to the prohibition of eating on Pesach would then apply to these other connected prohibitions as well. Same thing with Gilui Arayos, having forbidden relations. So associated with that might be other prohibitions associated with that would get you to that point. So the same thing would be in Avodah Zarah. So if that's the case, then perhaps one would extend the stringencies of the prohibition itself to the
Avodah Zarah. But it's not necessarily Maris Ayin, though. I mean, Maris Ayin is, I thought that the definition was that people think that you, and then they'll think it's okay to do it, and then they'll do it.
Well, that's their point. So Rashi quotes both reasons in different places. So, and probably the different things that the Gemara describes as Maris Ayin, some of them lend themselves to each definition a little bit more.
Somebody, like a siyug, what you were describing is like a fence around it, but.
There's a possibility Yisim Niki Me Hashem, that one should be clean in front of Hashem and in front of the Jews. So that's probably invoked in this idea. I mean, no one's going to think that Avodah Zarah is mutter because they see you doing it. They're going to think that you don't know what you're doing. But there are other prohibitions probably that are less well known as being prohibitions, and people see you doing them. So then we'd have that concern. So probably both aspects play a role in the overall sugya of Maris Ayin. All right, stop here.